Hi, everyone. We are here finally in season six. Can you believe it? We've made it.
We did. And if you missed our announcement last time, we are going to be moving to a weekly schedule.
Yay!
So I'm very excited about that.
Me too. So we can finally get through some of this stuff instead of being here for the next 6 years.
Yes.
But we are here talking about the first episode of season six, episode one called Gossip, which originally aired on September 17th, 2009. And we open with a cold open of a popular internet sensation from 2004, because of course... That's a great opener for a show in 2009. I love that they do that because it's exactly something that these guys in the office would do, would get obsessed with something that is super kind of old. Yeah. I love this cold open. I think it's very funny.
Hardcore, parkour.
Parkour! Michael. Parkour! Parkour!
Extreme!
Parkour! Parkour!
I love Jim's confessional, his talking head, where he discusses what might be going through their head.
This is parkour. The goal is to get from point A to point B as creatively as possible. So technically they are doing parkour as long as point A is delusion and point B is the hospital.
I love whenever we see different parts of the office park, and we certainly see that. And I don't know about you, but I absolutely laugh out loud every time Andy falls into that box that he thinks is a solid box and it ends up being empty. Oh, it's
yeah,
so
it's really fantastic. It's like a big Vance refrigeration box, right? So it's like a the box swallows Andy whole. It's so good.
And Michael with his giant shirt tails out. It's a very good cold open.
Yes. I do want to back up a little bit and talk on the meta level for a second about this episode.
Whoa. Okay.
So we mentioned this is the season six opener. There was a real thing in the early years of The Office where after, Steve Carell was a movie star. Basically, once the show got going, and that really, I think, brought a lot of people in. That kind of happened again here, where between season five and season six, The Hangover was released, which of course Ed Helms starred in. And so I think it's interesting that there's sort of that echo of Steve Carell's sort of movie fame following them into the show.
Mm.
Also is the first one where Ellie Kemper is a full cast member. So we saw her last season come in when Charles Minor hired her to be the receptionist because Pam was gone. Anyway, so they've made her a full part of the cast, which I think is great. I love that when Ellie Kemper was added to the show. I think Erin is a great character and a lot of fun. And even though I'm sure we will talk about this as we move forward, I sometimes really struggle with how they write for the character of Erin. Like, I feel like the show never knows how intelligent she should be, and I find that frustrating at times, but I'm glad she's there. She adds a lot of energy to the show. So yeah, it's kind of like a fresh start here in season six.
Yeah, I do agree with you that it seems like they took a little bit more time to figure out who she is.
Mm-hmm.
And because she is an intelligent woman playing someone that's a little bit spacier, you do get those glimpses of like her as a person and an actor mixed in with the glimpses of Erin being like kind of a I don't know, what's the proper word to call an Erin? Erin.
Yeah.
Erin-y.
Yeah, so that's something I kind of want to pay attention to as we move forward, because I think they had a little bit of a rocky time with that in places.
Yeah, her character ends up getting pretty dramatic.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of all over the place at different points.
But I like how she gradually gets kind of a closer relationship with Michael.
Yes.
But again, that like becomes, it's strange. It's like a whole rocky start. I mean, maybe that is intentional. Like, she is a brand new character. Look how rocky of a start we had with Andy.
Sure.
Joining the group, right? There's always kind of that learning curve, especially when you're talking about writing for people that have extreme, very specific personalities.
Something else meta about this episode, and I want to see if it caught your attention as well. So we pick up season six at the end of the summer. They're saying goodbye to their summer interns. The documentary that is being made in the show doesn't air until years later. So why did they take the summer off from filming? Like, it wasn't being aired live. Like, I always find it interesting when The Office makes time jumps to, and it's to land with the calendar, right? So they want the Christmas episode to be airing during the holidays, right? So I understand they've got to make time jumps, but I found this one particularly so interesting that very clearly, like, a whole story happened that we just don't get to see with these interns because the show came back in the fall. No, is that weird to think about?
I never thought about it before.
Okay, I'm reading too far into it.
I never ever thought about it before. I just assumed, like, the summer was boring, so nothing
maybe
was filmable. Like, that's just was my headcanon.
Bunch of people are on vacation, you know?
I mean, Steve Carell's super tan. I mean, maybe he took some time off. So, like, as Michael.
He went back to Jamaica, you know?
Yeah, he did.
Tan everywhere, Jan everywhere.
Oh, my. Do you think he Janned everywhere again?
Oh, let's not use that as a verb ever again.
It's better than adult playtime.
That's true. That's
adult playtime or Janning.
Yeah. Okay, so Dunder Mifflin is saying goodbye to their summer interns. Apparently, this is the first time that there have been interns in a while because last time they had interns, Pam reveals that Michael made far too many Monica Lewinsky jokes, as you would imagine Michael Scott doing. Not actually being inappropriate, just making the joke.
Yeah, in this episode, we see Meredith being the inappropriate one with the interns.
She's like rubbing up all on that intern.
Oh my gosh, Meredith, calm it down.
Meredith thing.
I think she did him.
I bet there's something there.
The presence of the interns is so strange. It's interesting, like, how they use this as the season opener, where they have these three new characters, not counting Aaron, who, you know, has already been a new character. But, like, we have these three new characters that are only here, and their only job is to start the idea, this trend of this rumor mill that Michael gets obsessed with being involved in, and that their presence is the only reason to move along this, like, small plot for this one episode. I think that there are funny jokes involved in it, but otherwise, they just seem so, you forget about them. You're like, oh, yeah, there was, like, one episode with interns. Mm-hmm. Interesting fact is that Megan intern, she was actually a student in the high school from the season 4 job fair episode.
Oh,
which is pretty cool, that's cool. That's consistent. Yeah, I thought that was awesome that they used the same person.
Yeah.
This show does that kind of stuff a lot, and I really appreciate it.
I'd miss that. So did you ever have an internship? Were you ever an intern?
Oh, yeah. I was definitely an intern. Like, weird theater jobs and stuff, mostly. Yeah. But, yes.
Okay. I never interned. By the time I graduated journalism school, like, as I was leaving, I don't think it was mandatory, but it was like, you really need to have an internship to graduate kind of thing. But I missed this. I feel like I missed an important career path being an intern, but maybe not.
I mean, it's terrible. They don't pay you.
Yeah, but I feel like it's something like, it's like a rite of passage for some careers, you know?
If you're in another, like, if you're like in a group with interns, you bond with your other fellow interns. Sure. And it's kind of like a really easy, low stakes way to get your first job and to essentially meet other people that will get you jobs in the future. So internships are valuable, but they aren't the most interesting work you can possibly find.
Yeah, we see Dwight ordering them around basically like servants.
They don't seem to have much for these interns to do.
Yeah. What? I mean,
at this branch,
it's not the busiest office in the world. What are you doing?
Yeah, to have three interns doing stuff. I mean, Dwight's making up tasks, although you could assume that, oh, it's their last day, so these tasks are just busy work for the very last day.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't seem like there would be that much work for them to do. And as the interns, even they say at the very end, they have their funny confessional where they reveal all of the celebrity lookalikes that Michael thought they were, that they really didn't learn that much Mm-mm. of anything when it comes to having this job.
I learned that a company can describe their internship as full of exciting experiences. Even if that's a lie, there's no regulation.
I learned that half these people's email password is password.
I learned that a ream of paper is 300 sheets.
I thought it was 500.
Oh. I guess I didn't learn anything.
They don't even learn much. Their job is to be up in that club and catch Stanley.
That's right. So this all starts out, like you said, this whole storyline is kicked off by the interns. That two of the interns, Eric and Megan, seem to maybe be going out or interested in each other. And it's, you know, it's gossip in the office. But Michael is bothered by this because he wasn't in the loop. And sort of as he goes around, he realizes that basically everyone else was aware of this except him. And that, you know, that bugs him. Michael wants to be in the loop. He wants to be invited to the party. He wants to be part of the group joke, right? It's another example of Michael Scott being left out of something. And he doesn't like that, right? He feels that he should have been told that this was going on if he didn't notice it himself. We also see this because in the background of this, it's confirmed that, yes, Pam is pregnant. That's obviously revealed at the end of season 5. That's confirmed to the camera crew. But they haven't told anybody, including Michael. And later on, Michael's like, you should have told me. It's like, Jim's like, we just told our parents last week, you know, we haven't told anybody else. But yeah, so Michael doesn't like being left out, you know?
I hate being left out.
We get that reveal of Michael's past again, where we have those moments of empathy for him, where we get those windows into what his childhood was like. And he talks about being picked last for sports teams, being picked for sports teams that don't even exist, like poop ball. And stop laughing. It's funny, but it's heartbreaking because we understand where Michael's anxieties are coming from. We all get to play the therapist in the room watching Michael reveal these things just in a way that, oh, just a matter of factly, but it's like, wow, a lot of your adult anxieties and a lot of your adult, you know, social problems relate back to stuff that happened in your childhood. And the writers always give us that touchstone for Michael. Mm-hmm. That's their way of making him relatable and making us empathize with the things that he chooses to do and be like, well, he's doing this because he wants to be involved. Sure. Because he never was involved. And I like that they do that. They don't do that in the British office. They never give David Brent that insight into who he is in order for us to be like, oh, wow, you're just a result of your past and you haven't worked through this yet. And that's why mm-hmm. you are a mess. But we get that aboundedly with Michael. And I really appreciate that. And I think that that's what keeps the show going. That's what keeps the show going for 9 seasons. Mm-hmm. And so that's why, you know, we are able to carry this character of Michael so much further beyond his cringy foibles, and we're able to be endeared by him.
So Eric and Megan are into each other. They went out as a group, like a group date thing. And it turns out that Stanley was spotted by the interns, and they assume that it's with his wife because they're dancing, they're making out. And that's not exactly what they saw. They don't realize what they saw, right? But it comes out that Terry, Stanley's wife, is actually out of town. So that is definitely not Terry that is in the club, up in the club with Stanley.
Told her it was a stupid idea to go up in the club.
So stupid.
Yeah, Phyllis knows a lot about Stanley's life. Like I guess she sits across from him for many, many years. But I do like that it's Phyllis who dismisses the accusation because she has all of these reasons why that couldn't have been true.
Terry's out of town, Michael.
Who?
Stanley's wife, Terry. She's at an interior decorating expo in Philly. And Stanley hates crowds, kids, and music. I think you should check your facts.
But if we think about it, the interns had no reason to be malicious or lie about what they saw because they didn't know who Stanley's wife was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they assumed that it would be his wife, right? Like, who else would it be? They give him the benefit of the doubt. It never crosses his mind. Yeah, and Phyllis, you know, she doesn't jump to the conclusion that, oh, it was Stanley and he's cheating. She also, like, it doesn't seem to cross her mind. It's like, oh, it couldn't have been him. Like, Terry's out of town. You know, that's not who it was. But Michael, it finally dawns on him as he goes back to the interns and be like, you set me up. That wasn't Stanley. He's like, dude, it was Stanley. He was dancing with someone. He was making out with someone. it was definitely him. And then it sort of dawns on Michael, I think later than it dawns on the audience, of what the interns actually saw, that Stanley is going out with somebody who is not his wife.
And we see Michael spread this rumor.
Instantly.
He can't hold on to it for even a second.
He tells Kelly first.
Stanley is having an affair.
What?
Well, of course he tells Kelly first. He knows that she's the best one to tell first.
Yeah.
Like, so it spreads like wildfire through the office because he literally tells every mm-hmm. single person. He doesn't just tell one person and let it flow. He just, you know, tells everyone. Jim confronts him and says, like, you know, you really should think about your actions. And Michael does. He takes a moment. He's like, oh, no. Like, I got so high on the idea of knowing something and telling everyone in the office the juicy gossip that I didn't even think about this person who I actually kind of care about in my life and hurting him.
Yeah. I mean, Jim confronts him over it.
Do you even know if it's true? Do you have any idea? Because it might be ruining his life.
I love that scene because we don't get many scenes of like the weird side window in Michael's office.
I love the weird side window.
Yeah, I do too. I don't even know. Okay, so if you can find, so I'm going to lay out a Dundee trap here. Okay, so if there's a time before this episode where we see it open, like having clear dialogue through it, let me know, because I think it's the first time we've seen spy shots through it. I know there's a scene somewhere where like Dwight sticks his head through, but I don't know if that's before or after this. Anyways, I like this little set. And Jim's like, dude, you got to stop. Like, have you thought about what's going on? Like, you could really be, you know, you could be ruining his life. And this is going on as Stanley is leaving. Stanley says he has a sales call, and then we see Michael really go head on. I mean, he walks out in the parking lot, stops Stanley from leaving.
Hold up. No.
I mean, Stanley's like driving off and Michael like stands in front of his car and he just asks him like,
Stanley, you having an affair?
Are you having an affair? Like, what are you doing? Just very point blank. And it was a little surprising. I think Jim's comment really landed with Michael.
Yeah, that really stood out to me too. And I thought, you know, good for Michael, because so many people, when confronted with a dramatic thing about someone that they know, they never really go to the source and ask about the truth, right? They either, there's lots of different avenues to of choices to go from there. But the direct confrontation with a friend of like, be real with me, tell me what's going on, I heard this thing and I want to hear from you if it's true or not, is kind of rare. And I think it's super commendable, because that's what you should do if you're questioning something about a particular person. You should confront them about it and give them the opportunity to tell you the truth. And so I think that that is a great way for Michael to have been with someone in the office whom he treats everyone like family. Mm-hmm. They've been through so much together. We've seen so much of their lives intertwined with each other. And so I go, bravo, Michael, for confronting Stanley. Yeah. But I kind of wish you did it like, I don't know, a half hour earlier before you spread everything throughout the office.
Like, you did the right thing.
It was like you were so close.
But way too late.
Yeah, exactly. The very, very right thing, but way, way too late. And when he gets the truth out of Stanley, this is like a big thing for Michael, where he is again faced with, I have to fix my mistakes. We're seeing a lot of episodes where Michael is now making mistakes that are related to how he would react because of his past. But now he is actively seeing that they are mistakes and moving forward and trying to fix them. And I gotta say, his plan of filling the entire office with a bunch of untrue rumors so everyone eventually figures out that all the rumors are untrue, and then Stanley's gets kind of, you know, swept under the rug with the big group of untrue rumors, that's not that bad of a plan.
Right? I had the same thought. Like, Michael, you've really dug a big hole, but this is not the worst way to get out of it. Especially now that he knows the truth.
It's kind of the least hurtful way,
yeah.
Right?
Because, you know, Stanley confessed to him that, yeah, you know, she was my nurse when I was in rehabilitation. I guess after his heart attack is what my thought was.
Yep.
And so, yeah, it's going on. There is this funny little joke between Stanley and Michael.
So it is true?
Yeah, but Michael, I'm going to go break it off. That's where I'm headed right now.
Oh, my God. Wait a second. Do people often say they're going on sales calls and then go someplace else?
That made me laugh.
It's probably absolutely true. Everyone goes everywhere during stuff.
Absolutely.
I mean, Jim and Pam go shopping for, like, happy gifts for Kevin. Like, everyone, they're always going somewhere.
Pam sees a movie later on in a pivotal episode later. I made a list of the rumors.
Great.
All right. Angela is dating an 81-year-old billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
They're rich because they own a Quiznos. So I guess the sandwich business is good. Kelly has an eating disorder. Aaron's job may be in jeopardy. Andy is gay, which we're going to come back to because that's a whole like B or C plot in this episode. Pam is pregnant. This one is funny, obviously, because it's the truth that Michael doesn't know. But Meredith says she's going to hate being a mom. Meredith. Creed has asthma, and he's very upset about this because if he can't scuba dive, then what has he been working for? Sure. Sure, Creed. Toby's a virgin, I guess, despite saying he has a daughter. Another person is inside of Kevin working him with controls.
These rumors are starting to get out of control.
Yeah, that one is pretty awesome. Oscar is the voice of the Taco Bell dog. Dwight uses store-bought manure, even though Dwight showed Michael where his manure comes from.
What a hurtful rumor that one was.
I know.
Just cuts and right then, to the core.
Right to the core. And then someone here is a J. Crew model, which was supposed to be about Michael. And he thinks that's bad because some people think that models are, to borrow a word from Michael Scott, vapid.
And they all assumed it was Jim instead.
Yeah. He's very handsome.
Yeah, there were no rumors about Phyllis, Ryan, and Meredith.
Mm-hmm.
They were all left out of the rumors that we heard.
Yeah, we heard. So yeah, a whole bunch of rumors, and Michael's like, look, lots of crazy things going around. Let's just forget about all of them. We're going to move on.
Guys. Everything here, like Stanley having an affair, that is crazy. Just, there's no stock in it. It's a weird day for false facts. Just let it go.
But because Michael is Michael, it does come out that, well, actually one of these is true. And we got to address that because he can't let it go unaddressed.
Yeah, I think he kind of spoils his own game there. He could have just kind of let it ride, been like, wow, what does he say? It's a crazy day for false facts.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, well, I guess it's because they all cornered him. They cornered him and asked him, why would you do this?
Yeah.
And Michael is not great coming up with immediate answers to things that he wasn't prepared for. And he does. He tells the truth right away and reveals it. I do love that this is the way that the Pam and Jim pregnancy gets revealed. They do a really wonderful thing and help out Stanley by saying that their rumor is the true one. So Stanley's can't possibly be true. And the distraction and the excitement in the conference room of the reveal that Pam is indeed pregnant, it totally lets Stanley's rumor die out with the rest of them.
Yeah. Yeah, they kind of defend Stanley, even though what Stanley's doing is clearly wrong. But I guess they didn't want Michael to be the impetus for, like, Stanley's marriage blowing up. I don't know. Like, it was a nice thing, but they're also covering for something that's not so nice. But
right, but it's Stanley's responsibility. Yes. To deal Agreed. With it. It's not
Michael's.
It's not the responsibility of being like, oh, let's all talk about this in the office.
Yeah. So before they reveal it, like they're realizing that this has been a rumor that spread. I think Andy congratulates Jim on baby tuna. Angela tells Pam that her baby will be a bastard. So
yep.
That's
so
that's
sweet.
Very, very nice, Angela.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and then they say, hey, look, you know, we're pregnant. They show the ultrasound. There's some very uncomfortable comments from Kevin about how he
There's
knew.
There's uncomfortable comments from everybody.
Yeah.
At first, I thought, oh, she has a new bra with padding. But then I thought, Pam doesn't need padding. It just didn't add up, Jim.
Okay. Thank you.
Congratulations. That's really great, you guys.
Don't vaccinate it.
Who's the father?
Jim.
How far along?
4 months.
Who's the OBGYN?
Stop, don't.
They just pile them on instantly. And I love Jim and Pam's reaction to it all.
It's clear why we were trying not to tell people. That's clear now.
Did you catch the reason we didn't want to tell anybody? Because it all just happened.
We should go back to the Andy being gay rumor, because that, like you said, becomes kind of like a minor through plot that gets followed more than any of the other rumors.
Yeah, Kevin is the one who tells Andy that he heard this rumor. Of course, Kevin is handling it with all the maturity in the world by giggling and making jokes about butts. And Andy gets really defensive. This isn't the first time this rumor has happened. He rattles off some names, like, who did you talk to? Did you talk to one of my, you know, singing buddies? You talk to somebody from my high school? Where did this come from? And then to the camera, he says, you know, it makes you wonder, like, if it's a coincidence at all. Which, of course, it is, but maybe it's not. You know, he's thrown into confusion about himself over this rumor, and then he goes to Oscar, which is this incredible conversation where Andy kind of lays out his problem. He gives this hypothetical that, is it Brad Pitt? Is that who he mentions?
It is Brad Pitt.
Yeah. Yeah. That if Brad Pitt were trying to kiss him, like, he may give in. He doesn't know how much he would push him away.
He would push him away the first time. He was sure of that. But the second time, he wasn't sure.
Yeah. I mean, Brad Pitt's really going for it there.
If you resisted Brad Pitt a little bit, he would still need to get to you.
This is not real Brad Pitt. This is like, this is my fantasy. Or it's like, not fantasy, it's like what I'm, it's just a scenario.
It's one of those frustrating situations where it's not Oscar's job, obviously. But if you have someone in your life who went through something like this and you are curious about it, you kind of want to go to them and be like, hey, can I talk to you about this thing? Because you're the only person that might understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oscar definitely does respond that way. In fact, he tells the camera, like, this cannot be my responsibility to comfort an insecure heterosexual man. That can't fall to me.
Which is true. It did. So the whole thing with Andy, like, I feel a little sad for him that we see his history of harassment from people in his life, particularly about this. And we're coming off of a time where during this time, there was a lot of just bullying about being gay. And that became a thing that was really effective for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's kind of interesting that the show took that issue and gave it to a character that he displays traits that would typically be stereotyped into being gay behavior, but he is not a gay character. Mm-hmm. But they showed that he was being bullied constantly throughout his life, even as an adult, which I think Michael bullies him about it in one of the previous episodes. And this is it's affecting this character in a way that he starts questioning himself. And I think that that's an interesting take on it. He doesn't get, like, mad. I mean, he gets frustrated that this is happening again. And it seems like that would be any kind of bullying, like, regardless of what the content of it is. But yeah, I kind of like that they put this in here as a not super easy thing to think about. It's a little bit, it's not as cut and dry. And I think that that's really cool of the show to put that out there.
Jim gives him some advice.
I mean, for the record, I prefer women.
Okay.
But off the record, I'm kind of confused.
Really?
Yeah, the evidence is sort of stacked against me, I feel like.
Well, you got to figure this out.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
How?
You got to have sex with a woman.
Right out.
And then a man. Then compare.
Oh.
I'm not sure it's helpful advice.
I mean, it's kind of helpful.
Be helpful. That Andy needs to...
It's helpful as a thought... like one of those thought exercises.
I've seen them before, so I looked it up last night. The outtakes, or like the bloopers for season 6, include this scene between Jim and Andy. There's a bunch of times where Andy's like to Jim, so what are you doing later? And they totally break. It's really funny. But yeah, Andy's struggling, you know, and I think it hits home more because the backdrop of this and this character is he just went through this horrific experience with Angela. And even towards the end of season five, we see him showing some interest in Aaron, but he's very clearly, until sometime recently, like really still rocked by what happened with Angela and Dwight and the duel and all of that stuff. And I think that also makes it a little heavier that he already is unsure of himself in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And then this is just one more thing kind of piled on. Like, you can't help but feel for the character that it's, he's got a lot going on.
Yeah, it's another chance for us to empathize with Andy. And I think you're absolutely right. The idea of questioning all of this for Andy right now, it comes up at a time where he is particularly vulnerable. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the episode ends with Michael making a phone call or answering a phone call of a returned call from Stanley's wife, Terry. And so it's totally unbelievable. They're like, you called? And he reveals that he called her to make sure she was out of town. So I guess he was checking his facts. I don't know. But he makes the horrible choice of picking up the phone, insisting he will not say the wrong thing.
No, I can do this.
You can't do this.
Yes, I can.
And he calls her Cynthia.
Twice he calls her Cynthia.
Hey, what up, Cynthia? Just hang on a second, Cynthia.
Oh, it hurts so much. Yeah. It hurts Michael's car so much. Stanley gets very angry, assuming he got another phone call from his wife. And he goes to town on Michael's car with a crowbar. Where'd he find that? Or tire iron?
Yeah, I assume it's just, he's like went to the warehouse and picked up like the first tool he saw. Just wailing on Michael's car.
Yeah, Stanley's mad.
Yeah, Michael says that Terry was already suspicious, so they had been caught, but Stanley had said that he had cut it off, but clearly he hadn't. And I guess that led to another conversation in the Hudson household. He's just ripping into his car with the scrub. It's a great little shot of him like from above just going crazy on this car. I've always wanted to do that sort of thing. I think that it would be fun. Like maybe that's like the 12-year-old boy in me. Like I really would like to, you know, like run a bulldozer through a house or smash a car up, you know?
Who wouldn't want to do that? I mean, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, every 12-year-old kid wants to do that. So Stanley's getting to live out his childhood dream, I guess, as his marriage burns down around him. But that's gossip, I think. Is there anything else that we need to touch on?
I think that their budget's getting higher, that they were able to, you know, smash the crap out of a Sebring, right? Was it a Sebring?
I think he's driving the PT Cruiser at this point.
Yeah, they were able to smash that because that was pretty real,
that
breaking all those windshields.
Yeah, he owned that car. But yeah, I think it's a strong start to season six. You know, I think a lot of people were getting towards the time in the show's arc where people thought it was dragging a little bit. And I'm sure we will get to some episodes where we feel that way. But Gossip gets a big thumbs up for me. I think it's a fun episode, but also it deals with some pretty serious things. But it does so in a very office-y way.
We will be back next week about the meeting. And until then, you can go and check us out on Twitter at @tall_beats, or you can go and be a incomparable member and talk to us in the conference room, our members only Slack, where we chat with conference room members about the office. So until then, Stephen, I don't know. What rumor could I start about you? I'll have to think that out.
Okay.
Okay. If you hear anything strange, it was probably me. That, I kind of don't want to reveal that. I think that's too big, just in case.
That's what she said.
Oh, high five. I'm sorry, that was a very good one.